everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Yes, yes, listeners. We are all going through challenging times right now. But regardless, you still need to ask for what you want and what you need. And when you fail to speak up for yourself, you shortchange yourself. So how do you keep the household sane and happy when everyone is suddenly under one roof 24/7? And how do you stand up for yourself more effectively in professional and interpersonal situations, particularly if you're communicating virtually? My guest today is Amy Fish, author of the new book, I Want Fries With That, How to Ask for What You Want and Get What You Need. She is also the Chief Compliance Officer for Concordia University in Montreal, Canada. She believes we all can make the world a better place by standing up for ourselves, even about the small things. For more information about Amy or her new book, go to amyfishwrites.com. Welcome to the program, Amy. Great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Terry.
It is wonderful. Now, first, as I mentioned, Amy, in the introduction, you're a Chief Compliance Officer at Concordia College in Montreal, Canada. What do you do in that position, or how do you spend your days in that position?
The actual position is called ombudsperson, which means that I'm responsible to promote fairness in the university. But I started calling it a chief complaints officer as kind of a joke, and it looks like it resonated with people. So right. We have 50,000 students at Concordia, and so any of them, any faculty, any staff can come to our office when they believe that they're being treated unfairly.
That's great. You know, I work at a university, Amy, so I know what that's all about. And I'm sure you get a lot of complaints and you have to adjudicate or mediate or figure out what to do with those complaints, correct?
That is correct. And a big part of what I do is teach people and coach them on how to complain effectively and how to speak up so that their voice is heard, which is really what made me decide to write this book. I noticed that so many of us don't have our complaints heard. And it's not only because of the merit or the substance of the complaint, but it's also how do we present it? And my intent is to help people present their complaint in the best possible way so that they're guaranteed the right outcome.
And they're guaranteed to be heard as well. Now, let's look at your book. I Want Fries With That. What an interesting title. Why the title of your book?
I'll tell you. When I was about 14 years old, we were finally allowed to leave campus for lunch. And we used to go to this diner where you had to go up to the counter and order, and then they would bring the food to you. And one day it was my friend Julie's turn, and we waited and waited in our vinyl booth, and the fries never came. And we said, Julie, what happened? Like, where are the fries? And she said, well, I ordered the fries, and I'm not sure if they heard me. And so this close group of friends, we are still friends to this day, bridesmaids in each other's weddings, the whole thing. We always use the expression about fries to mean I didn't stand up for myself because I ordered the fries, but I'm not sure if they heard me. And so that was kind of always our code. And so when I sat down to write this book, that's the story that popped into my mind. Some of us are still 14 years old inside and we order things or we want things, but we're just not sure if the other party hears us.
Oh, I like that. So many of us are in our lives not standing up for ourselves, not appreciating that if we don't or if we fail to stand up for ourselves, we shortchange ourselves. And I love it. I want fries with that. So you tell us, why is it important to stand up for ourselves, even about the small things, Amy?
I believe that Standing up for yourself is a muscle that you need to exercise and you need to build. And you start off with the very small things, whether it be fries, whether it be lettuce that's brown and that you want freshened up. And you kind of work your way so that when it gets to the difficult things, like asking your boss for a raise, or in this current environment, asking to work from home, you've okay. built up enough courage and you've found your voice and you know how to speak up a little bit for yourself.
Now, I know many listeners, Amy, are sitting there listening and saying, I can't stand up for myself. I can't go even, I know you said start with the small things, but I can't go to my boss and say, I don't want to come in. I want to work virtually, or I can't see my therapy clients in the office. I need to do telemental health. What do you suggest? What are some strategies, at least now, first in the work or professional situation or context, that we can incorporate or use?
Well, I have a few comments, a few responses to that. First of all, we have to remind ourselves that if we don't speak up, nothing is ever going to change. So people who say I can't do it really break my heart. And what I want to say to listeners who say this is really difficult for me, we can do hard things. You can do hard things. So it's not that you can't do it. It's that maybe you're not used to it or it doesn't come naturally to you. But I have faith in you. And I think you have it in you to start small and ask for what you need. In the case of telecommuting or working from home, it's a safety issue. In many cases, it might be a life or death issue. So you need to stand up not only for yourself, but for your family, for anybody that you work with, for anybody that you live with, for anybody that might be affected by this COVID-19. And so I believe that there's a civic responsibility to create change in the world. And the only way we can do that is by standing up for ourselves.
I like that. And I mean, the first suggestion or strategy that you gave, Amy, listeners here, it's not that you can't, you can. So you really are telling all of us that we can. It may be difficult. It may be hard. We may not have had practice doing it, but we can do it. And then, at least in this environment right now, it's a safety issue. So what can I tell my boss? What do you have any phrases, some specific examples?
So to be practical, let's take the boss example. Let's say that you want to work from home and your company policy is not a work from home policy. You have to solve the problem for your boss and present them with a solution that you believe they can implement. So I wouldn't keep it just an email like, dear boss, I would like to work from home. Thanks, from Amy. I would like to suggest that you do something along the lines of, dear boss, I hope this finds you and your family well. I know this is a very difficult time for all of us. As I'm sure you can appreciate, I've been trying to figure out how to do my job from home, and this is what I'm thinking. And then list out how you think you can do it from home. It has to be realistic, though. If you work on a factory line, you probably will not be able to manufacture your piece of the widget at home. But if you're a receptionist, you could say something like, I have spoken to IT. They can forward the calls to my office. I can do a virtual waiting room. They can forward the calls to my landline. I can do a virtual waiting room. This is how I will receive people. This is how I'll allocate the resources. And give the boss a solution that is actually implementable that they could actually do. What do you think?
I like that. I like that, Amy, a lot. Listeners, that's wonderful. So giving the solution, actually, I should go back and say first, I love that you say we are all experiencing challenging, stressful times. I hope you and your family are healthy and well. So that's acknowledging the situation, giving the reality right up front. And mm-hmm. then I can appreciate that this is a stressful time. Here's the solution. Mm-hmm. I like it. Now, do you think the strategies that you're offering to listeners and others change based on whether we're working virtually or not? Would it be the same kinds of strategies, Amy, that you would be giving us if we weren't experiencing this COVID-19 situation?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think in general, I don't talk a lot in my book or in my work about being kind. I assume that everybody is just going to be kind. And when people say to me, I should include things about being compassionate and being understanding in my complaining effectively methodology, I always say, well, my bottom line is that everyone should be nice to everyone. And I'm not going to include that. But now I think it's even more important that we remember that our nerves are frayed our, like you said before, our children's nerves are frayed, partner's nerves are frayed, everyone's nerves are frayed. So we have to add a little extra scoop of loving kindness to everything we do, even if it's negotiating with a boss, even if it's talking to a coworker who might not be our favorite person. We're always going to take the direct route, but we might have to put on bunny gloves a little bit right now.
I like that. And that's so true, because we are stressed and we need extra support and affirmation and kindness. Others also are stressed and they're not able to give as much to us during these times as well. So being extra kind and understanding and respectful, especially now, but always, right, is important. You know, it's so funny when you're giving the example of the boss and asking for being able to work virtually at home, Amy, I'm reminded as a therapist and as a coach, that many people will come to me and say, how can I present something that I'm irritated or upset about to my romantic partner? And my comment always back is, first, give a positive, kind comment. Thank you for doing X lately, or I really appreciate that you've been understanding lately. So it's that kindness, it's that first, here's, I am setting the stage, I appreciate you, and then saying, I would like to share something with you that's upsetting with me. So I'm reminded of that as well in interpersonal relationships, that it's important to do the same kind of thing that you suggested with the boss. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I agree. And I even look at it as a sandwich. So I go, nice, issue, nice. Thank you so much for doing the groceries. I really, really appreciate it because it's so stressful right now. I think you forgot the butter and the milk, but overall, you got everything else. So that was really great.
I like that. A sandwich. That's great. Nice issue. Nice. So let's go then, Amy, to, you know, our home life. You know, our world is changing, as we know, and many listeners are stressed at home because they're really with their families and partners 24/7. What are some tips that you can give to help people keep the household sane and everyone happy, because suddenly we're underneath the same roof?
My number one tip is to have family meetings, which is different than just sitting around the coffee table playing cards or sitting at dinner together. This is a meeting where you sit somewhere else in the house, not where you normally sit, and you open, or maybe sit in a different order, maybe sit on the floor if you normally sit on chairs, and you open the meeting. What we do in our family is we open with a reading from a book that somebody once gave me that has a different quote for every day of the year, like a 365 quote book. But it could be whatever resonates with you, whether you're a family of faith, whether you're a family who likes the dictionary. Just open a book and open with a reading so that we know this is not regular. This is a family meeting that we're having now. And then discuss anything that you would like to air and give everyone else who lives in your household an opportunity to share what they're feeling and what they're thinking. And then when it's over, it's over.
So, okay, let's go back to that. I love that idea first, the family meeting. Do we start out with a specific question, Amy?
That depends on the family. In my family, we have the rule that anybody can call a family meeting. So my family is me, my husband, and three kids, but they're older kids. And so somebody will call the family meeting. I called one this week to talk about how people cannot go out anymore. And everybody discussed the sacrifices that they have to make, which include not seeing girlfriends, which include having to give up part-time jobs. And everybody kind of put in what their bottom line is and what they have to give up. So that could have been a question.
Right.
But it was also a discussion.
Good. I like that. And everybody gets a chance to share a feeling, share an annoyance or an irritation, or bring something up that they're thinking about. So I like that idea, Amy, and allowing everybody to share and give their opinion. Now, at this meeting, would I also discuss rules and regulations? Like, since we're all home right now and there's only two or three computers and there's six people that we're going to have computer time, or we're going to share the computers?
Yes. But I like the way my family functions is that people get an opportunity to assist with the problem solving. So I would say something like, we only have two computers. We have to share them. How do you think it should work? Should we do times of the day? Should we do priorities? Should we do a calendar? How do you guys want to do it? And give them a chance to pitch in. So I wanted to say that. And then the other thing I want to say is part of the reason that I suggest the family meeting is because it contains the conversation about complaining and the negative energy and gives all of us a place to put it. What I want to avoid for families is that they're together all day and all day they're kind of snapping at each other. I think that the snapping needs to happen because, like I said, we're all under stress, but I think we need to contain it and have somewhere to put it. And so if your kids are complaining to you, you can say to them, we will discuss this at 7 p.m. Keep a list of all your issues at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We're going to sit down and go through everything. And that way it's not seeping into every move I make.
Right. That is good. And listeners, for those of you who don't have families and it's just you and your romantic partner, this is a great strategy as well. Have relationship meetings regularly or daily to do the same kinds of things, a time where you can bring up your annoyances and irritation so it doesn't seep in to everything you're experiencing 24/7. I like that, Amy, a lot. Okay. Are there other suggestions or tips for families in the same household now?
I've suggested to people with younger families that they do a complaint jar. And so this also helps the kids practice their writing. If they come up with a complaint, like, why do we have peanut butter again? Or why can't I go to my friend's house? Or why can't I, you know, why is it raining? Then you have them write down their complaint and you keep them all in a jar and then you can pull them out and address them. Either at a family meeting or if you don't choose to have a family meeting at a specific time. But again, it's about containment and having a place to put everything.
Very good. I like that, especially as you said, with small families. Excellent. Now, what else would you recommend?
Oh, I recommend looking after yourself. And if possible, take even a few minutes to yourself every day to give yourself a little peace and quiet to regroup. Even people who live with one other person, sometimes we just need to be really alone and just breathe and go easy on yourself. This is tough.
Oh, absolutely. And I should say, Amy, that as I talk to couples and as that I share my information with romantic partners, I say the same thing. I say, ask for space, ask for that personal time, that privacy, because it can actually be good for your relationship. Don't take too much time. And I encourage people to say, Amy, I need an hour to do X, rather than just saying I need space, because that can be confusing to people. Mm-hmm. And that word space is always a trigger for many people, right? I need space. What does that mean? You don't want me anymore. You don't care about me. But instead, please give me an hour to talk to my good friend via Zoom this afternoon. Yeah. And then afterwards, let's do something fun. I think it's important to bring back the fun as well, as we are all stressed. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I agree. Fun is definitely a priority in my life. And I think something that could be fun that isn't expensive is always trying new things. So trying a card game that you've never played, trying to learn a language together as a family or by yourself, picking up something that you kind of abandoned, maybe a craft that you looked at or an instrument that you thought about and you never really did. This is time to stretch your brain a little bit in all kinds of different ways.
I like that.
So that's my other thought.
And you know, the other night I will share with listeners that my two children and my husband and I sat down and we played a game. And it has been a long time since we've played a game and we laughed.
What did you play?
And you know, laughter. We played What Is Your Meme?
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it is so good. It's so funny. And it really, everybody has a different perspective. You listeners, you show a picture or a meme, and then everybody has cards in terms of the phrase or the message or the saying that might represent that picture or meme. And Everyone has a different idea of what it means. There were four of us, and so one person was always the judge, and the other three people put in their saying or phrase. And we laughed and laughed. And, you know, laughter also, Amy, is so important for families and couples and individuals, because again, it's a very stressful situation, and it can allow us to de-stress and be better and healthy as well.
I agree.
Now, I agree. What in all of these strategies, can you help us connect it back to speaking up for ourselves? I know you gave the family meetings and the complaint jar. Tell us how that connects to it's so important to speak up for ourselves, even during these stressful times.
I think it's important to acknowledge that it's okay to have wants and needs, even if other people have it worse than you. I think in these times, so many of us will say, you know, I feel guilty asking my kids to vacuum because their athletic season was canceled, or they were supposed to graduate and they're missing prom and things are not good for them. So I feel guilty asking them for help. But both things can be true. It can be sad that things are canceled and you could need help with your house. Both things could be true at the same time. So I connect it back to, it's okay to have wants. It's okay to ask for what you want and need, even if the world does not look very fair right now. That's my connection.
That is very important for us to recognize, because I think when we feel fortunate and healthy, we may not ask for what we need because we see other people suffering and sick and having parents who have to go to the hospital. Thank you, Amy, for that important message to all of us. Now, we only have 2 minutes left. If there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, what might that be, Amy?
The message that I want people to take away is that you have to stand up for yourself and ask for what you want, even if you're not sure that you're doing it correctly. Even if you're not sure that you're speaking to the right person, even if you're not sure that you've worded the email correctly or that you have the right phone number. If you don't speak up, nothing is ever, ever going to change, not only for yourself, but for everybody in line behind you. If we do speak up, then we have a chance that we could change the world. So please speak your mind.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Amy. Such an important, significant message. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Amy Fish or her new book, I Wanted Fries With That, How to Ask for What You Want and Get What You Need, please go to amyfishwrites.com. Also, you can connect with her on Facebook at Amy Fish Writer or on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Fish Writes. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your healthy, happy relationships.